Let us turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. May God bless the reading of His Word. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the 2 ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us now hear from Pastor Tia Fung the title, Passing on the Baton of Faith.
Good morning. No, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Can I have my slide? My slide. Is it up yet? Oh, okay, cool. Okay, today is the very first IGW of the year, right? Is it there? Okay, today is the very first IGW of the year. Okay, so I'm very, very happy, very excited to be here. And shall we thank Ethan for the amazing children's message? Yes, he's over there. Yeah, a big thanks to him. I didn't know you read Chinese Bible, by the way. That's so cool. Okay, so a big thanks not just to Ethan, but to his parents and to all his Sunday school teachers and all the aunties, uncles who have been nurturing him for the many years. Thank you so much for helping him and, you know, passing on the baton of faith to him and the next generation. Okay, so children, are you ready for the message? Yes or no? Yes, okay, you have to be attentive. You have to listen to me, you know what? Because if I see you talking, I will... okay, can you do that? Okay, so please be attentive. We will listen all together for the important message of God. Okay, firstly, children, let me ask you a question. What is a baton? Anybody from the track and field CCA? Anyone? Hands up. Or all athletes? Do we have all athletes? Have it up. You're so shy, ah. The MC people very proud to raise hands one. Or you dream to be one actually last time. Me. Okay, so you know what's a baton, right? Yes, okay, so this is the baton, right? Okay, so you have to pass this while in a relay, race, right? Okay, so you have to pass the baton. So let me ask you, what does it mean to pass on the baton? Do you know? If we say we pass on the baton, okay, so it means to pass a certain responsibility to a party, right? So if you're the one who take over or being handed the baton, you have been handed the responsibility. Are you with me? So far, so good. Am I too fast? Are you comfortable with my speed? Yeah, if I'm too fast, just raise your hand, okay? So now, so what does it mean to pass on the baton of faith? So notice there's a faith here, right? So you pass on the baton of faith, and what does that mean? Okay, we hear from Paul. So Paul is a servant of God, okay, a follower of Jesus. And Paul said this to the young pastor, Timothy. So Paul said this to him, right? And what you have heard from me, Paul, okay, in the presence of many witnesses, and trust, okay, you too, you have to pass the baton of faith to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You get the picture? Okay, so Paul, an older and older Christian, more mature Christian, a pastor, he is passing the baton of faith to the younger Timothy, and Paul told him, you have to do likewise. Okay, you too have to pass the baton of faith to other people so that they too can pass it on to other people. Following so far? Yes? Okay, so this is what we call something we should be familiar with. Spiritual succession, right? Okay, if you don't know this, huh? These two words, very strange. First time I hear about this, you have to see Reverend Chua after service, okay? You know why? Because this is our church theme for the year, okay? So, spiritual succession is very important. It's an important teaching of God, actually. Okay, so from the Bible. So today, we're going to cover a few areas. We're going to look into the Bible, like why we should pass the baton on, okay? And who should do it? And how should we be doing it? Okay, firstly, why? Why? I hope we all know of these verses. We should be familiar with these verses. So Jesus, before his ascension, right? He said this. So go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them and teach them about my teaching. Okay, question. What is this commandment? Who is it for? Is it just for the disciples of Jesus back then? Yes or no? Not just them, right? Okay, it's for every single Christian, every disciple. I'm going to do a quick survey now, okay? So put up your hands, okay? Question one, okay. How many of you, okay, the fact that you're sitting here in Grace Church is because your parents have brought you here. It's because of parents. Because of your parents, you are here. Hands up. Come. Whoa, a lot. Up. Proudly up. Yes. Okay. Second question. How many of you are here in Grace Church because you have been invited by your friend? Hands up. Cool. Quite a few. Okay. How many of you walk into Grace Church on your own? No one invite me. Have it. Okay. We have a few. Okay. That's so cool. Okay. But even if you walk into Grace Church, you know, like no one invited you, I believe there's some factors that actually cause you to do so, right? Okay. So friends, we are thankful. The fact that we are sitting here today is because there are people out there who have been faithful in passing on the baton of faith to us. Am I right? Okay. So we should do likewise. Okay. So who should do it? Again, we move on. Okay, we've just understood that it's a duty, responsibility of every single Christian. Now, watch. Paul, this is what he calls Timothy. He said, Timothy, you are my true child in the faith. In the faith. Okay, so Paul actually sees Timothy as his son in Christ, in the faith. Okay, because Paul has been guiding and journeying with Timothy so as to help him to become a stronger Christian, a more mature Christian, a stronger and more mature pastor. Okay, so Paul has been his spiritual mentor. Okay, so that is a very nice, beautiful spiritual and mentoring relationship between them. So I hope I've made myself clear. Okay, so from the teaching of the Bible, this commandment, okay, is given to all of us. As long as you are a Christian, you know you are a child of God. Doesn't matter whether you're a parent or not, okay? You have the responsibility to pass this baton of faith on to others. Okay, children, you can actually do this as well, you know? Even though you're so young, okay? You can actually tell your friends what? Jesus loves you, okay? You can tell that to your friends, right? It's not difficult, right? Okay, I hope you have been doing that. Now, question. If you have been sharing your friends, hey, Jesus loves you, come to church with me. That's very nice, right? What if? Okay, I'm just saying, what if? What if your friends respond by telling you, can I use Samuel's name? I can use your name, right? Yeah, I know you can. Hey, we have a lot of Samuels today. From what I know, right, today we have at least, among our youths, 5 Samuels. And I'm going to preach about Samuel. Oh, how interesting. Okay, so we have a younger Samuel over there. Okay, for example, Samuel. So you say, hey, Zareth, come to church with me, lah, okay, be a Christian. Then Zareth say, but I look at you, you see, you use vulgarity in school. Then I see you gossiping. Then you cheat in exams. And you're rude to your teacher also. And you lie also. Do I really want to become a Christian? It's not convincing, am I right? Okay, so it's not just by saying, friends. Passing on the baton of faith. It's not just by saying. People look at your lives, right? Now, I'm very happy to share this photo with you. Okay, it's taken recently. Okay, you see the expression because they were listening attentively to the speaker. Okay, it's a workshop. So I'm happy to show you this picture. Why? Because among our youths in this picture, and in fact, a few of them are here today. Okay, they are actually first generation Christian. So the fact that they are here is because they have been invited by our other youths. Okay, and I'm really happy to see that. So delighted to see that. Okay, my question is, I haven't gotten a chance to ask them, why are you here with your friends? Okay, I hope you're not being forced. Okay, but I believe no. I believe it's because they see that the lives of their friends who have invited them, right, to church are different. I believe so. Okay, so it's not just by saying, not just by, you know, inviting you verbally. I believe because of their life. So friends, how? How can we pass on the baton of faith? Now, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you two letters, children, specifically for you, okay, for everyone as well, to help you to remember this easily. Okay, so 2F, okay. How can we pass on the baton of faith? We need to fear and follow the Lord. Is that easy? Okay, easy to remember, lah, huh? Easy to do or not? That's another question, okay? We will all learn together. So we have to fear and follow the Lord. And today we're going to learn this lesson from two characters we just read, okay? Yongqing just read for us, okay? So we're going to learn from these two different parents. One is sadly a bad example, the other one is a good example, okay? So we can all learn together. So now, I believe all of us, especially the children, you're familiar with the story, right? Of Samuel being caught by God in the middle of the night, right? Yes or no? Yes. Yes? Cool. Okay. So we know about this story. He was in the temple, right? He was serving the Lord in the temple with Eli, the priest. Okay. So God, in the middle of the night, he heard a calling, right? First time. And then he went to Eli. Oh, Eli, you just caught me. Then Eli said, no, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. Okay, so he went back to sleep. And then he heard again, Samuel. Okay, he went to Eli again. Eli, you caught me. No, go back to sleep. So he went back, okay. Third time, he heard again, Samuel. And he went to Eli. Eli said, no. But Eli noticed something. Oh, Eli, being the old experienced prophet, he knows, okay, the Lord is speaking to Samuel, the young prophet. Okay, Eli told him, okay, Samuel, okay, you go and lie down, okay, if you hear the voice again, just tell him, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So see, Eli is guiding, okay, is guiding this very young prophet, Samuel. So Samuel, listen. So the fourth time when he heard again, he responds according to what Eli has taught him, right? So you see the beautiful picture here. It's quite heartwarming, right? Okay, a very old, experienced Eli teaching a very young boy how to be a prophet, how to respond to God. It's quite beautiful, right? So we are being told that Eli, he's the priest, okay, and he is also the judge of Israel. So he's been chosen by God to serve him. And what does a priest do? Okay, besides offering sacrifices on behalf of the people, he pray for the people, he bless them, and he teach. The most important thing, he teaches them about the word of God. He is a ruler, being a judge. He's a ruler of Israel, and he teaches the people of God to follow God, to obey him. And we see here one example, right? When Samuel's mom, Hannah, couldn't give birth, Hannah prayed, right? And then Eli told him, go in peace. Okay, Eli gives her his blessing. And we see so far, seems like Eli has been doing a good job, am I right? So far, seems like at least he's been fulfilling his duty. He followed the Lord by fulfilling his duty as a priest and a judge, right? So far, so good. Okay, but, see, to fear and follow the Lord comes together, friends. Okay, comes together. It's a package. It's two sides of the same coin. You can't be following the Lord without fearing him. And you can't say that I'm fearing the Lord, but yet I'm not following him. Okay, it's together. But God knows. God knows our hearts. And He knows Eli's hearts. He knows. Okay. And you know, sadly, the fourth time, okay, when the Lord speaks to Samuel, right, the Lord is going to tell Samuel a message. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to Eli and his family. I'm going to send him a punishment. Okay, I'm going to judge him and his house. Okay, and this punishment is going to be so terrible that everyone will be shocked. Okay, now, I believe this is very shocking news for young Samuel, right? Okay, Eli is his mentor, spiritual mentor and spiritual father, right? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? So God says, before that, he actually sent another prophet to tell Eli about this. So Eli is aware of this. So God actually rebuked him and says to him through the prophet, Why do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling? And honor your sons above me. Okay, you have despised me. Look at the strong words that God has used. Okay, you despise me, you honor your sons above me. And watch, friends, we have to take note of this. When God says, why do you, this you is a plural form, meaning it's not just referring to the two sons of Eli, but who as well? Eli as well. All of you, okay, father and sons, why do you scorn my sacrifices? All of you have dishonored me. Oh my goodness, okay. And this is a very harsh rebuke, okay. And God says, and I declare to him that I'm going to punish his house forever. Why? Because Eli did not restrain, did not rebuke, okay, in NASB, his sons. Watch, parents, Christian parents, okay? God says, you, Eli, even though you know what your sons have been doing, they've been sinning against me, and yet, as a father, you did not stop them, okay? You did not restrain them, you did not rebuke them. Children, back to you, listen, eyes on me. Okay, you don't have to put up your hands, okay? You can use your eyes to communicate with me, okay? How many of you have been punished or disciplined by your parents before? Use your eyes to talk to me. Cane before? A cute little girl just raised her hands up, okay? She probably doesn't understand what it means, right? She thought it's what? Candy cane. It's not. I'm talking about cane, okay? Now, the Bible actually teaches us this. Parents, okay, he who loves your child, okay, is diligent to discipline your child. Friends, okay, and Proverbs 3:11-12 says, the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Okay, children, listen to me. If your parents have been disciplining you, okay, and even caning you, okay, when you are very, very naughty, okay, it's because they love you. Okay, I know this because I'm a mother myself. Okay, I just shared in MC this morning, right? You know, when our sons were really young, you know, we really, wow, you know, pants down. Okay, really, we do that. Okay, when serious mistake lah. Okay, yeah, okay. So, because we love them. We don't go next door and cane our neighbor's children, right? We don't. Okay, we punish our own children because we love them. And this is exactly the teaching of the Bible. If you honor me, you honor the Lord, parents. If you honor the Lord, you discipline your children. Okay, you don't honor your children or fear your children above God. That is not the teaching of the Bible. Now, let's watch. Let's read. Actually, if you read the Bible, right, Eli, he did rebuke his child, his children, his sons. He did, right? So we see in this passage, he did. Okay, but watch. Okay, listen. What do you think about his way of disciplining his two sons? So Eli told them, why, sons? Why do you do such things? I hear of your evil dealings, okay? I heard of all this. I hear, okay, don't do this, okay? You are sinning against the Lord, and it's terrible. Who is going to save you if you're going to sin against the Lord? Basically, that is the recording of the Bible. We only have these records in the Bible. That's it, okay? And you know what? The Lord is really angry with Eli. Okay, this is not this is not really rebuking your children. You have not been doing your best to stop them from sinning. As a priest, as a father, you can actually fire your children, right? Stop them from being priests, okay? He didn't. He just kept quiet about it. And God is really, really angry with Eli. And God says, okay, because you are not honoring me, okay, but in fact, you are honoring your sons above me, I'm going to really send you a harsh punishment, okay, on you and your family. And in fact, the Bible tells us, friends, okay, I hope we are familiar, okay, with these verses, Deuteronomy. Moses taught the Israelites, okay, listen, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Meaning what? Wholeheartedly. Okay, 100%. And we are familiar with the teaching of Jesus as well. Okay, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Everything. Put God first. First, God should be first in our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to love him half-heartedly. Okay, 20%, 50%, not even 99%. God wants 100%. God first. God first. And Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother, listen, children, whoever loves father or mother more than Jesus is not worthy of Jesus. Okay, and Jesus says, children, parents, whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Okay, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me, put down your desires and follow me, is not worthy of me. This is the teaching of the Bible, friends. We have to put God first, number one. And the Bible tells us we should each respond to him. We should each respond to him. Watch. Listen. The two sons of Eli, they are priests, right? Does that mean that Eli has successfully passed the baton of faith on to them? No. Okay, the fact that they are being priests doesn't mean they are saved by God. Okay? No. And the fact that we are sitting here doesn't mean we are saved. I'll put it this way. Let me rephrase myself. The fact that our parents bring us here in the church and the fact that our children have been coming to church regularly or even serving regularly doesn't mean they are saved. Each has to come to the Lord and fear the Lord and follow the Lord. Did I make myself clear? We have to respond to him. It doesn't mean that we're doing all the Christian things, okay? Attending church, reading the Bible, not even serving, not even preaching. Yes, not even preaching. It doesn't make us Christian. God knows our hearts. We have to turn to him ourselves. We have to respond to him, okay? We don't get saved automatically just because we're doing all the Christian things. No, this is the teaching of the Bible. And you know what? God says, your sons, Eli, they are worthless, my goodness. Worthless, useless, okay? Their sin was so great in the sight of the Lord. God sees their hearts, okay? And God says, I'm going to punish Eli and his house, okay? That there shall not be any old man in your house, okay? No one will live to an old age, no. They will die young. No more priests in your house, okay? And you know what, Eli? Your two sons, they shall die on the same day. Wow. It's terrible, right? But isn't God gracious? Isn't God loving? He's God, right? He's full of mercies, right? Wow. Why didn't God like give them a second chance? God has given them a lot of chances to turn from the sins, but they refuse to do that. And God says there's no more way for them to turn back to me, okay? The iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for, not even by sacrifice or offering, no way, because their heart is not, they have not turned their hearts to me, okay? They're happy to continue to sin against me, okay? And God says, that's it, because they have been, saying no to me, not willing to repent, and not willing to turn to me, and that's it. Friends, watch. Jesus says, For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And that is why, friends, that is why spiritual succession is so important. This is the most important thing that we need to do. Okay. To have the salvation of from God is the most important thing in our life. And that is why, friends, we have to share with our loved ones, with our friends, that God loves them. And this familiar verse is for us, the familiar verse, okay? Now, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, we have to come to Him, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Each has to come to God personally. Likewise, okay, before I move on, okay, I don't know if there are any friends who have not come to the Lord yet. If there are, okay, if there are new friends here, you have not come to the Lord yet, here's an invitation for you. And even online, okay, if you're watching online, here's an invitation for you. Jesus is asking you to turn to Him, okay? Yes, we're not saved by actions, by deeds, okay? We're saved by grace. But we have to come to Him personally to respond to Him. So here's an invitation for you. Now, and we see that likewise for Samuel, okay? Samuel, he doesn't automatically just become, you know, oh, I've been dedicated to the Lord by my mom, by my parents, so I'm being saved automatically. No, we see that, you know, the boy Samuel has been serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli when he was young. And when he grew a bit bigger, right, older, right, so he served the Lord and with before the Lord with this linen ephod. Interesting, right? Okay, so this thing is like a priestly garment. Okay, so it's like, you know, pull over, and it's like a uniform. Okay, so it's like, oh, this young Samuel has officially become, you know, serving in the temple with the older ones. Okay, but do you know that Samuel doesn't only have this one priestly garment? He has another garment, right? Which he gets yearly. From who? From his mom, right? Okay, so the Bible says that his mom, Hannah, makes this special robe for him every year. Every year, she will visit him and give him this new garment. Mothers, let me ask you, as a mother myself, I think it's so hard to give my son away and only visit him once a year, okay? And we think lightly, right? Samuel was about 3 years old then, okay, when he's being weaned. Okay, lightly, that's the age. How can Hannah bear to leave his son in the temple? But she did it, friends. Why? She fears the Lord. Okay? Hannah fears the Lord. Hannah puts God first. And Hannah promised to give his son, dedicate his son to God, if God is going to grant her a son. And she did that. Okay? She obeys. And she does that. Okay? And I believe, okay, when Samuel asked Hannah, right, Mommy, why are you going to send me away, okay, to this temple and live with this old priest? Why can't I live with you and daddy? I believe Hannah lovingly tell him the story, you know, because I have you because God has given you to us, okay, and we are going to send you to serve the Lord, okay. And we see from the story, right, Hannah said this to her husband, okay, Elkanah, and likewise the husband supports the wife's idea, okay. So they together present or dedicate their son to the Lord, okay, together, okay. And we see that, you know, when it's time to win Samuel, Hannah brought him with her. She brought him, okay? She did it. She obeys the Lord. She fears the Lord. She followed the Lord. Unlike Eli, okay? She never honored her son above God, but rather God first. And we see that together, husband and wife, they dedicate their son to God. And Samuel, you know, even at a young age, he worshipped the Lord there. Oh my, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this beautiful? As a family, they worship the Lord together. And this is what we call family ministry, right? Is Reverend Joseph here? Okay, I'm helping him to do the intro for his next family ministry event. Okay, it's a family ministry. Now, recently I just finished the youth baptism class, okay? I'm very happy. Okay, some old faces are actually the 导师, the mentors. The younger ones are those who attended the class. Okay, I'm very happy and touched, okay, when they attended the class. Why? Because I feel that this is a family thing. Okay, the fact that, you know, most of them, majority of them, their parents are here in church. Okay, so you know, they have to spend like 5 Sundays to have baptism class, going to spend like 1.5 hours, you know, to stay on Sunday, like in the class. And the parents actually supported them. I'm very touched. Some are like, you know, having like busy school schedule, and a few are, you know, taking their O-level exams. And the parents supported them. And I see this as a family thing. You know, it's a family commitment to the Lord. And I think this is beautiful. The parents have passed on the baton of faith to them. Okay. And you see, Samuel, as a child, as a boy, he sees how his parents live, you know, how his parents fear the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord, and he served the Lord even at a young age. And the Lord is with him until he grew, become a man. He continues to preach the word as a prophet. Now, but I do have a question for you. Parents, does that mean if we faithfully bring our children to church, teach them God's word, they will take the baton of faith from us? They will stay in the church faithfully, stay in the Lord faithfully? Not necessarily. You know why? We see the Bible, right? Sadly, Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. Why? I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an answer. We don't know. But let me ask you, do you remember any wicked father in the Bible that has a very faithful son who fears God and follows God? Yes. Thank you, children. You're amazing. Okay. King Saul, right? He's wicked, right? But his son, Jonathan, fears the Lord. Why? I don't know. I have no answer. Okay, but parents, let's do our part. Let's be faithful and continue to bring our children to the Lord. And let's continue to fear the Lord and follow the Lord together as a family. Lastly, I'm going to share a few stories. Hopefully, will encourage you. Okay, so recently, one of my youths, okay, together, Shanice, where are you? Shanice, okay. So we have been talking about this prayer ministry, right? Okay, so we were like doing messaging in the Telegram. Okay, so Shanice, she said, okay, I will settle this thing, okay, and then I will go and hunt down someone, okay. I put this up without asking permission because this is something positive, really good. I only ask permission if I feel like that person will be shy, okay. But this is something good, right? Where's Auntie Ying Ping? Yeah, huh? Where is she? Oh, hello! Okay, you want to see how the youth pastor responds? Okay, so the youth pastor responds, okay. Oh, you're close to her! And then you know what? Okay, this is amazing. Shani said, she was my Sunday school teacher. Wow, how do you feel? Auntie Ying Ping, how do you feel? Don't you feel proud? Oh, this is so sweet, right? This is what we call spiritual succession. Okay? And you know what, church? What do you think? Do you think we have been doing enough, Grace Church, to pass on the baton of faith to our next generation? I want to share something also very quickly with you, okay, in a few more minutes. Okay, I will end. You know, as a young Christian, when I came to the Lord when I was a teenager, at the age of 13, and I joined the church at Set 1:13, okay? You know what? Because I was very young, so I always observe people in the church. And you know what? Our youngsters are observing us as well. So when I was young, right, as a young Christian, I observed. And then I see, oh, this uncle, always late one, you know. Always come church late one. Oh, that auntie, always talk very loudly one. Oh, that brother, very weird, leh. He led the worship, and then he went out. And then he missed the whole service. He came all the way just to lead worship, and then he disappears. And then that person, always during sermon time, will leave the service one. Why? Oh, then when I grow older, right, oh, this leader, this leader, always during AGM, will come out and angrily will question, you know, the leaders one. Then I recognize, you know, negative and positive examples also have. Positive also have. Okay, oh, this brother comes very early in, you know, to serve quietly in the church. And I learn good and bad examples. What are our youths learning from us? Okay, older Christians, they observe us. They do, you know. And lastly, I'm going to share this interesting group chat that we just had. You know, it's Lent period, right? Okay, so some of our youths, out of their own initiative, they create this group chat, okay? So it's called Lent 2025 Fast. Fast, not quick. Fast is stop, okay? Fasting, okay? Fast from what? Fast from things that actually distract you from the Lord. Okay, so very interesting. We have a long list. I'm going to share with you just a few conversations, okay? So, interestingly, okay, our drama just now, I'm going to post a Muay Thai advert promo thing to get a free 2-week trial, okay, with some other church people. But I'm not going to scroll Instagram, okay? So she got the permission from the rest. Thumbs up. You can go. Okay, then she go. Okay. Gerald, okay. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, it's my friend's birthday tomorrow. I'm going to show something about him, okay? Pose it, okay? But very fast one. Okay, then everybody thumbs up. Go, do it, okay? And quickly he comes down, okay, after that, okay? So it's what? Accountability. Okay, I like this one. Okay, Silas, but I want to give him a name called Daniel, okay? So he actually, he's fasting from sweet drinks, sweet drinks, okay? He only drinks plain water. Please don't go and tempt him later, or... Silas, you want to have a cup of coffee? Don't do that, okay? Please. So Silas said, yeah, I accidentally drank some fruit punch, okay? So it's very cute, right? It's very cute. Friends, it's about the motivation behind. It's about the attitude. It's not about the actions. Okay, are you with me? I love this. I love how the youths actually hold each other accountable to fear the Lord, to follow the Lord. And I think this is beautiful. Okay, so let's do this as a church, as Grace Church. Let's continue to fear and follow the Lord. Two questions for us, okay? Have you been doing your part in spiritual succession? What are some areas in your life which you should improve on so as to better pass on the baton of faith to others? Question two, do you truly fear and follow God? Friends, you know, God knows. Have you been putting anything or anyone above God? If yes, repent to God. Put Him first in your life. Let's spend some time before the Lord to reflect on His words, and I shall close in prayer. Let's spend some time in silence before the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you, we give you thanks for your wonderful words. Thank you, Lord, for placing amazing Christians, your servants around us in our lives, that, Lord, we are able to come to know you. And Lord, you have been reminding us again and again that, Lord, we need to pass on the baton of faith to others. We need to share the good news. We need to share your love. We need to share your teaching with people around us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing that. And Lord, most importantly, you have reminded us that we need to bring people to you by living a life that actually brings you glory. We need to fear you and follow you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in following you, in fearing you. And Lord, may you help us. We pray for those who have not come to know you or receive you as the Lord and Savior. We pray for these friends that, Lord, you help them. Give them the faith in you that they too will come to receive your love, your salvation. And we give you thanks, Lord, for you are good, you are faithful. And we pray all this together in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.